92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan behind the glass. It is a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's a getaway edition of the Killer Bees, final show of the week. Well, Thursday night football, Blankers. I lost a little bit of money, but that was certainly not the storyline.
I gave you the tip.
I mean, there were some things that happened in that game that certainly affected the outcome that changed the narrative nationally, locally, everywhere.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, what am I talking about?
We told them, didn't we?
You told me what? The Tua was going to get carted off the field and head to Cincinnati Hospital in the second quarter?
I told you who was going to win and why.
Okay. All right. Did you put some money on it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and flex. Go ahead and boast. But you have zero winnings, and I have zero winnings. Now, right. I do have a negative where you
have a negative, and I don't, and I tried to help you out, but this is what I get for it. So, hey, I'm here for it.
They would have won the game if Tua didn't get hurt. Tua got hurt. Tua got hurt in that game.
Boy, the fingers.
That was nasty. It was vicious. It was scary looking. That was one of the, like, there's not a whole lot of moments in sports where you're like, kind of terrified, like where everything else does not matter. Like I threw my bet out the window. Really couldn't care less for the rest of that game because there was a lot of significance in that game. Can Miami be 4-0? One of the best teams in the AFC. Does Cincinnati get back on track? Or are they going to start off one? Like there was a lot riding on that game, and it literally all went away at the moment that Tua got carted off, and then found out he was heading to the University of Cincinnati Hospital to get evaluated.
No, the thing to me was the fact that I wasn't aware of the fact that when you suffer significant brain trauma, that your fingers actually do that. And then my whole thought process went to just, I'm looking the whole time to make sure he's moving his extremities. Mm-hmm. Just please move an arm and a leg and show me that, you know, from the rest of your life perspective, you're going to be okay. And again, it's kind of like, from a different perspective, Mechie talk with the Texans. I just want him to have a good long life as a human being, and then you obviously hope he returns to the football field as well. But watching that, you're right, it was scary. And then watching the reactions of his teammates, it let you know how serious it was, and you're like, man, this is so much bigger than football. But then as it relates to football, it takes you back to the less than a week previous.
Yep.
And the injury he suffered going into it, going, that had to be a good reason why we are now watching him in this predicament now.
There's so many layers of this that we're going to get to, and we'd love to get you involved as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. I guess the first question is, who is to blame? Because I've seen a lot of hot takes. I've seen, oh, McDaniel should be fired. I've heard, oh, everybody in the Dolphins organization should be fired. Roger Goodell should be fired. I mean, everything. Every hot take, which, I'll be honest, like, it kind of bothers me that you have this hot take now, but not before the game. Like, if you didn't think that Tua should have been playing in that game, you should have been screaming from the tallest of mountains whenever he was announced the starter. That you have to wait for something else bad to happen, I think that that's fake outrage. Why are you waiting for something else bad to happen? If you're going to criticize that he's playing in that game, you should have done it before the game.
So we did it as a follow-up to what happened last week. We didn't do it leading into this game. We did it and just had the discussion of, if we do find out that it was a concussion, not a back injury, then that doctor provided by the league,
the independent neurologist,
needs to be reprimanded and fired, and there should be some serious ramifications because that was wrong. That's where you and I had that discussion even before we got into last night's game.
Sure. No. We did have that discussion. And like, I think that there are people to blame for what happened with Tua, even before the game was played. Like, should Tua have been playing on 3 days rest after suffering a huge, you know, blow to the head that was not diagnosed a concussion? Like, there's a lot of different wrinkles here. Because if there is people to blame, I don't think Mark McDaniel should have any sort of blame. I find Mike McDaniel. I have it Like, whenever people throw him blame, I'm a little insulted because I don't believe he should have any sort of blame on this. The Houston Texans had something happen. Look, it wasn't as similar. It wasn't as, you know, drastic as some dude staggering around on the field. It didn't have as much attention, and it turned out it was just a poke in the eye. But Scott Quisenberry left the game for a few plays against Chicago because he was doing the same thing that Tua was doing, shaking out the cobwebs. I've posted it on Twitter, and he had a referee come to him and force him off the field so he could go get evaluated by the independent neurologist. Now, it turned out he just had a poke in the eye, and he came back and played almost every single offensive snap after that. No big deal, right? Like, and I understand that the gravity is much larger for Tua because it looked a lot worse, and now the gravity is even more so because he got hurt and carted off and hospitalized yesterday. But there are also some similarities there. You had a player, an offensive player, that got checked out for a head injury, and both independent neurologists said, oh, there's no head injury there. They're clear to go back. So Lovie Smith heard that news. So, oh, Scott Quisenberry, go back in the game. You're perfectly fine. You got poked in the eye, no big deal. Mike McDaniel heard the same news, said he's got a back, his head's no issue whatsoever, and he put him back in the game. So I get bothered when people criticize McDaniel for the injury that happened yesterday. I point the finger strictly at the neurologist and wonder what in the world happened with that evaluation and that concussion checkup.
That's where I started last week. That's where I'll pick it up this week because there's so many different layers here to unpack. And I'm with you on the McDaniel angle of this because, look, we're also going to take it just regardless of anybody's, you know, beliefs and their interest in this and say, as a head coach, you are not a doctor. You didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night.
Uh-huh.
But you're lying if you don't say, I prefer he play the game because he is my best option to win. So you are waiting to hear from your medical personnel first and foremost. If they tell you and someone tells you, whether it was your guy or the independent guy, hey, they signed off on it, he's good to go. I want him in the game. If I'm Lovie or I'm Mike McDaniel, I want him in the game from a coach's perspective because it gives me the best chance to win. Now, you're asking a coach as well to kind of either put up a fight and push back on doctors that are telling you he's okay to play, for one, if you're criticizing Mike McDaniel, which is completely ludicrous.
Right.
And then secondly, you're asking him, hey, put life above football. And even if the doctors cleared him, for those people that were holier than thou saying, even with the doctors clearing him, he shouldn't have played him last night. There's no coach in a million years, especially in his first time as a head coach with a 3-0 start, trying to really make a name for himself, his team, and do some things on national TV that he's going to say, yeah, I mean, I know the doctors said he's good to play. I'm not going to play him.
Whenever I go to the doctor for whatever I go to the doctor for, and I think this is probably true for you, I think it's probably true for Brendan, I think it's probably true for the rest of the hive. I'm not going to say it's 100% of the time, but at least 90% of the time, and probably closer to 100 than 90%. Whenever we go to a doctor, we seek their advice, and then whenever they give us their prescription, their recommendations, whatever, more times than not, we believe them. Like, we might not always follow them. Hey, Branham, you need to lose 20 pounds. Sorry, doctor, I like cheeseburger, pizza, and wings. But I believe him. Like, I do, like, appreciate and respect his opinion. It's the same thing here. Like, Mike McDaniel, if you go back to the Sunday night game against Buffalo, he hears the neurologist and his team doctor say that he's totally fine to go back in the game. He doesn't know everything that happened. I don't know if he saw the stammering around from Tua. I have no idea. You're here the moment. He's an offensive play caller. He's also the head coach. I don't know what he saw. No, I do believe he saw it after the game. There's no doubt he saw it after the game. But if you see that after the game, Tua plays a good second half. Everything is checking out. All of the doctors are saying that he's totally fine. Why wouldn't you play him? I don't see anything that Mike McDaniel did wrong here that people are pointing the finger at him and saying he's at fault. What did he do wrong? 713-780-ESPN.
Here's the other thing, Jeremy. As it relates to who's to blame or who you should be mad at, it really does come back to the NFL because this is protocol that's been set up by the league, whether it's the independent doctor that's working on this or the protocol itself, which should also involve rules about the significance of suffering whatever injury it was on a Sunday and then having him come back on a Thursday night regardless. It has to be where you get a third party and a fourth party involved. There has to be some other couple steps put in there, not to mention how he came back in the second half, but then following the game all the way leading up to Thursday night and the fact that with a quick turnaround, we already hear players that are perfectly healthy talk about how taxing it is. And now you're asking him to do it with whether it was, well, let's just assume for a second it was a back injury, though.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's the thing. It's like we kind of have to believe it. Like, are we going to say that we know more than the neurologist because we saw a 5-second GIF on Twitter?
No. What I'm saying is that if it's just you can't leave it up to – we know, and we've seen this in politics. We've seen it in regular courts of law and everything else. You can't just leave it in one person's hands and say they're unbiased. We don't know. There's things that in their backgrounds and histories and things that we don't know. So I think at that point, it needs to be a group of physicians with expertise in this field to go, okay, we need a not necessarily a unanimous decision, mm-hmm. but we need, you know, a majority decision to say he's cleared to play. Because otherwise, if there's anything that is even borderline, it's got to be scrutinized.
I mean, they feel like they have that. They feel like they have that with an independent neurologist who, if he says that he's not able to, well, I mean, they have that. He just said he didn't have a concussion.
But when we saw what we saw, and they had, I've heard so many ex-players that commented even on Sunday's game before we got to last night's game that said, you can call it a back injury.
Sure.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, he said the back got hurt on the previous play. I went back and listened to some Tua after that game and then earlier this week. The back injury occurred on the previous quarterback sneak. It didn't occur on that play.
Okay. Well, but the reaction subsequently after the plays, either mm-hmm. the back injury or the one following it, was that he wobbled almost to falling down and was caught by an offensive lineman
sure.
twice. Not once, but twice. The ex-players that had saw that video said, especially guys that had gone through concussions, serious ones, were just like, oh my God, I got chills. I had to stop everything I was doing going, he can't go back out there. And then he played the second half.
Right. I understand that. I got a counterpoint to that. Also, I do have some blame to assign, and it's some blame that has been given to nobody else. In all of this, it's the Killer Bees, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN975, 92.5.
All right, here we go with Apollo Men's Health. I was there this morning. I stopped in bright and early, and all the people were already in the lobby, and they were ready to go. So was Dr. O and his staff. They take care of people on a daily and weekly basis by getting them more energy in their lives. They also take care of them in a variety of other ways, from getting on a workout program and being able to monitor your results, to recovering quicker, to things for your smoothies. They've got it all under two roofs, actually, because they have two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston. But if you're not trying to win a gold medal, you're trying to win the day, and you're coming up way short lately, they can help you get back on a plan that works. It's all about being able to make sure you identify what you want to do and where you're falling short, and then let them take over to tell you how you can get back to your old self again. They have been helping people all over Houston for over 5 years, and they're going to do it for a lot longer because there are people that continue to go there in droves to get the help that they need. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you have problems, they have answers. They're going to get you on a program that works. Check them out right now and all the services they offer at ApolloMH.com. While you're on the website, why don't you sign up for your first appointment? When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. You mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit, then let the process go from there. Tell them from the start what you're trying to achieve and where you are falling short. They're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get your results. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Go see the people at Apollo Men's Health.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Hey, bills happen. Are gas prices choking you at the pump? Inflation is costing Americans close to $500 more each month. So when you need extra cash fast to help in these difficult times, go directly to the official website of billshappen.com. Have you been turned down? Do you have bad credit? Go to billshappen.com. All you need is a job and a checking account. You can find a lender and get up to $5,000 as early as tomorrow. Billshappen.com is the smart way to get a personal lender now. So if you need extra money just to help carry you over for a few weeks for car repairs, school supplies, food, family emergencies, or housing costs, go to billshappen.com and you could get the money you need, up to $5,000 as early as tomorrow at billshappen.com. Our process is safe, secure, and all online. It's easy. When you need a lender, go directly to the official website of billshappen.com. That's billshappen.com. billshappen.com. For the cash you need now. See website for details. Billshappen is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Not available in all states. Must be 18 years or older.
John Granato here for Chastain Ford, the Ford truck experts. If you're looking for a brand new Ford and you have been shopping and comparing dealerships, waste no more time and shop at Chastain Ford, where they value your time. The price you see online is the price you get when you arrive at Chastain Ford. There's no dealer add-on like paint, seal, fabric seal, window etching, nitrogen, and the tires. Customers get to other dealers, and that price they thought was so reasonable just went up about $3,000. Chastain Ford puts its lowest price on every vehicle. You get the best price without the hassle. ChastainFord.com, Houston's best-kept secret.
Maestro Dobel is a name to know if you love tequila. Lance Zierlein here. And what I love about Maestro Dobel is the variety of excellent tequilas, all with different flavor profiles. Dobel's Diamante is the world's original Cristalino tequila, made with 100% pure agave and a blend of extra añejo, añejo, and reposado. This tequila is truly unique. You're truly going to enjoy Maestro Dobel tequila. It's perfect to sip and outstanding in a cocktail. Find Maestro Dobel anywhere liquor is sold. Maestro Dobel.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Where do you stand on the whole Tua thing? Who's to blame? I've seen Mike McDaniel getting a lot of blame. Why? Who do you put some fault on? I have one person that I'm putting fault on that I've heard nobody else point the finger to. I'll get to that in a little bit. What you were talking about with, like, the players would see Tua coming off the field against Buffalo where he was kind of wobbly. It took his teammates to keep him off the ground. We've all seen that side. It wasn't a pretty sight, and I think a lot of people looked at that side and played self-doctor and made the prognosis that he had a concussion. They were probably right, and the independent neurologist was probably wrong. Here's the pushback that I have with that, though. Like, the players are going to see that and immediately think concussion. They're going to jump to the conclusions, whereas the neurologist is going to go do the steps, go through the checks, do his job. Do neurologists swing and miss? I think we see an example of him swinging and missing here. But I'm going to trust a neurologist more than I'm going to trust the players. The Scott Quisenberry play against Chicago early in that game, he got poked in the eye. When Scott Quisenberry got poked in the eye, he staggered back, shook his head a couple of times, and had an official walk up to him and force him off the field. If you saw just that, and you didn't hear the post game, you didn't hear Scott Quisenberry, you didn't see Scott Quisenberry play the rest of the way, you didn't see the reports that he got poked in the eye, if you take that 3-second clip, you think he was also concussed.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I think, to me, where it gets down to the real technical issues of it all is the official's just doing his job too, because simply put, you'd rather run the risk of a player missing one play unfairly, but make sure that you're getting the right evaluation than saying, oh, it's probably nothing, letting him go an extra play and find out it was something, and then the impact of another play that did even more significant damage that made it worse. So I think where it really comes back to, from my perspective, is from a league perspective. And it's not uncharted waters, but as they try to do this the right way, I'm sure some of it is learning on the fly as well, because the Thursday night game probably didn't come into the thought process as much. But really, for me, it's that independent doctor and physician from the red tent, you know, from the tent to the sideline to going in for 23 minutes of halftime on Sunday and evaluating him then and saying, he's okay to play. And right, he played a great second half.
But what if they were right?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm saying, and they might be right. And so you're never going to hear about it again. You're going to have people on Monday say, well, the NFLPA requested an investigation. So if they were right, then you didn't do anything wrong. Then you just go forward. But now you've got only 3 days to prepare and come back from that before you're out there again. He did take a couple other blows before he took that one. Took one real significant body slam earlier. And then you're asking yourself, is it one? Is it both? Could have been possible that after, like you said, two plays ago before he actually took the back injury or the play that wobbled him in the Buffalo game, that's where he hit the back. He said that. Okay. Then that play looked like it was pretty obvious he took a head blow.
Sure.
But is it possible he had both? And is it possible they were focused on the fact that the Dolphins were telling him it's a back injury, not a concussion?
Well, if he's talking to the neurologist, they're examining a head injury.
Yeah, right. Okay. But then how did he get – to me, what's causing the wobbles?
He's got a head injury.
No, okay, that's what I'm saying. Their prognosis was it was his back.
Well,
it wasn't a concussion.
He checked out. He didn't have the head injury,
okay,
according to the neurologist.
After the game, I'd like some explanation. Again, not being a medical professional, If it wasn't a concussion and it was a back injury, what caused him to stagger and look disoriented twice on one play?
See, this is really what bothers me with all the outrage post-fact of what happened yesterday. Like, if you were going to be that mad of Tua playing, you should have had the outrage before the game. I went back and listened to the press conference from Tua, because Tua still did a press conference after the Buffalo game on Sunday, and then like every starting quarterback in the NFL, he did a midweek press conference. He did the press conference on a Tuesday, because they're playing a Thursday game. After the game Sunday, he was asked about the head like once or twice, and he's like, look, I was good. So, like, they left it at that. So, like, where's the hard-hitting questions? If you're going to be a media member that's outraged, where are the hard-hitting questions? Same thing on Tuesday. They're like, are you okay? And Tua is like a five-second answer. Yeah, I'm good. So, like, where's all the outrage prior to him playing is something that bothered me. Go ahead.
I'm not going to put words in your mouth either, but I think, because I don't know how you feel or if you've seen this or not, but I think that it really comes down to, too, in regards to what you were saying about how he was handling the media and his answers were, sometimes you have to take a player out of his own way. Like, you've got to do something that the player refuses to do. This is his job. This is his livelihood. This is where he knows he can show he's tough, but also not let his teammates down. And you know how he feels he's a very important piece of this team, and he wants to be out there. No one's going to tell you that you're a wuss and question whether you want to be out there or not. But you know most players are going to say, I have to be out there. I'm going out there, and I'm not going to let any. Drew Brees was talking about it, that there's been multiple times where he hid the injury and what the actual effects were of it so that he could make sure he was there for his team. At a certain point, you got to get him out of his own way.
Tua talked after the game, after the Buffalo game. He didn't talk, of course, after the game yesterday. Tua talked after the Buffalo game. And what you just said, this quote reminded me of.
Any competitor that would never want it to come out would have did the same thing. So I was just trying my hardest to get back up and get the next play and run it.
So to clarify, did you hit the back of your head when you fell down on that play?
Yeah, I did. I did. But I think I really hit my back first, because that's what I felt first.
Okay, that's fine. But the toughness there is where it comes into play. And see, this leads me into the one person that no one's pointing the finger at that I think, and look, no one wants to say this after Tua suffered a huge injury yesterday, is Tua. Whitworth on the post-game studio show on Amazon, Whitworth, former offensive lineman, left tackle for the Rams, won a Super Bowl last year, retired, and now is on their crew. He talked about how this has happened before in his career where he gets staggered. You know, he's a tough guy, wants to stay in the game. The doctors didn't notice. And it took a teammate telling the training staff, hey, look, he's not good. He can't play. Concussions are very hard to diagnose. Concussions are a brain bruise. They're very hard to diagnose. You can't just put them in the MRI. You can't take x-rays of it and be like, oh, yeah, there's the x-ray. We see the bruising there. Now, extreme ones, you can see bruising and swelling, things like that. And also, like, how you diagnose a concussion is a lot of times what the player is telling you. They have they have preseason, you know, baseline tests of, like, you know, what's your favorite color? Like, certain things like that. And then whenever they're starting to evaluate you, a lot of times when players have had concussions and they're tough guys and they want to stay in games, they know what to say to the neurologist that's going to keep them in the games. So, like, the NFLPA is looking into this, as they should. The NFL said they looked into it as well. They don't think they're going to find anything that was, like, out of line. Other than the neurologist probably swinging and missing, just don't know what could have went wrong. Like, there's certain things that you have to cross off whenever you're going through these steps. And, like, I don't see how the neurologist is going to screw that up. Now, he might screw up the diagnosis, which I think did happen here, but I think they did everything by the book. They did everything that they were supposed to do. I think Tua, though, knowing what he needs to say to stay in the game, said what he had to say to stay in the game, and after the game, yeah, it's my back, not my head. Yeah, I hit my head, but it's my back. Asked about it on Tuesday. How's your head feeling? I'm good. I'm good to go. Tua, because he's a competitor, because he's a grinder, and look, we love that in our athletes. So, like, this isn't so much like Tua screwed up here. But this, like, the players also have to, like, understand and accept this mindset of, look, I'm going to do serious damage to myself if I try to be a competitor, try to be a gamer, try to play through head trauma. And I think that's what Tua was doing here. I think that's why Tua passed the neurology test.
But you're right in the fact that you can be coached up a variety of different ways as a player. And don't think between player and player, discussions have come up about how to be coached up to handle being called into the tent and being evaluated for a concussion and being able to, as you said, say the right things to get out of it. I think one of the other interesting parts of this discussion as it relates to what you were saying and going a little deeper is getting, when I said get the player out of his own way,
yeah,
as a player in his heyday, that's, and let's be honest about Tua, he's still trying to prove he belongs as a big time high drafted quarterback.
Absolutely.
In this league. And so 3-0,
and he's been benched. He was benched last year.
So 3-0 and rolling the way they're rolling. He doesn't want while he's actually proving himself, he doesn't want to have the rug pulled out from under him. Mm-hmm. So his teammates also, the kind of way we said teammates don't talk about other teammates' money, the other teammates are not going to be the reason why he's not in the game and create animosity with other teammates. They're going to, and they did as much. They were deflective and saying, hey, he looked like he was good to me. He told me he was good. So they stay away from it too. But at the same time, the decisions that you're talking about from the person's perspective too, the player's perspective.
It's a hard thing to do.
You're in your heyday. You're on the up and coming, you know, being evaluated as a really good player in this league. You're not thinking about one day I'll have a family, one day I'll have kids, and one day if I can't walk or I can't think straight and I can't do all that, none of that stuff's factoring in.
I think he does have family.
That was
and kids.
The consensus. I don't think he does.
He's married. Oh, he got married in the offseason. I think he might have.
The consensus of most of the ex-players that I heard from last night and today was you don't think the same way you do when you're in your 30s and 40s post-career or late in your career as you do right then. Your only objective right then is get your butt back on the field.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 10 years later, you're thinking, why the hell did I ever go back on the field?
I mean, if I was in his shoes, I would do everything I could to be on the field.
And I would too.
I'm married. I have kids. But it's also your livelihood. Like, you feel like you owe it to your profession. You feel like you owe it to your teammates. You feel like you owe it to yourself because there's probably something in the back of his mind to it. Like, the reason I work hard every day is because I don't want to get fired. Like, there's probably something in the back of Tua's mind that I want to perform so I don't get benched.
And that's the biggest thing. If you're a starting quarterback or a big-time player, it's one thing because you are putting your family in a different tax bracket for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
If you are a guy that's a special teams player or a guy that just got his first chance to be a spot starter and make a niche on a team and this happens, there's no way in hell you're giving that up because you know if I give it up and I get replaced, I might be done.
I want to hear from Mike McDaniel. Also, Thursday night football. I have some thoughts about that maybe is something else that's being swept under the rug. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Tonight is the night, the final American Conference opener for the Houston Cougars. Under the lights on a Friday night, doesn't get better than that, in Texas. U of H hosting Tulane 3-1 in a blackout game, and the weather tonight is going to be beautiful. I know you're already heading out to TDECU Stadium for the game, but if you're looking for something to do tonight, why don't you take advantage of the weather and head to some U of H Tulane this evening. They want you at the stadium, and they're putting their money where their mouths are. Tickets start at just $10 while supplies last. Get them now at uhcougars.com/tickets. 713-GO-COUGS. How about getting on campus early? Enjoy some tailgating. We know that you're ditching work early on a Friday anyways. Why don't you ditch work on a Friday anyways and then head over to campus, enjoy some of the tailgating, which gets started at 2 o'clock. Cougar Walk begins at 3:45. Watch the team head into the stadium. Don't miss all the pomp and circumstance of college football. Special halftime performance as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. The U of H Mariachi Pumas and the Spirit of Houston join together to perform at the half. I love the Mariachi Pumas. Entertainment by the cheerleaders, Cougar Dolls, Shasta and Sasha, DJ Yoba Yobes mixing it up in the student section. And again, tickets just $10 while supplies last. UHCougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS. Watch some good football in this beautiful fall weather. Don't miss all the fun and pageantry of college football. Come early, be loud, and wear black.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Fidelity Fuels, that's the name you need to know if your business is construction, trucking, oil filter, anything else that needs fuel to operate. Fidelity Fuels is a Houston-based supplier and distributor of bulk gasoline, diesel, DEF, lubricants, and petrochemicals. Need a partner for city and state contracts? Or maybe your company has its own diversity goals? Fidelity Fuels is the answer. They are WBE, SBE, DBE, and HUB certified. Give them a call at 877-938-FUEL or visit FidelityFuels.com.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
every Sunday, I tell my buddy Steven, don't bet on the Cowboys. They suck. But he bets on them anyway. That's dumb, Steven. But you know better and pick winners every weekend. So why not get paid for your picks at MyBookie? At MyBookie, you can bet single game spreads, money lines, or even parlay them together to increase your payouts. They also have contests with low entry fees and over a half a million to be won. So you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. And you'll definitely enjoy their prop builder so you can bet on individual players' performances. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie.ag. Use promo code BET975 on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. With action like this, MyBookie makes it simple to bet and win, even for Steven, if he'll listen. Make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll look ahead to some Texans Chargers in the 1 o'clock hour. Beesy money at 1. We're going to try to win you some money. We're going to try to do that. Who said it coming up at 2 o'clock?
We're going to try to break even.
We're going to try to break even. Yeah, we've not won more than one game.
Thank God we're not going to the Waffle House. In good the first Lord, they'd never weeks. Let us leave, or we wouldn't let ourselves leave.
And then I lost my solo bet yesterday. I'm now 6-19 in the NFL season.
Who needs Vegas Dave when you got Vegas Jeremy?
Now, my totals are much better than my against the spread. I'm 6-19 against the spread. Totals, I'm not losing. Well, I'm 9-9. I probably am losing money after Vegas gets their cut. Anyways, you were talking during the break that this is a conversation that I think should be discussed. The Amazon halftime show was taking a lot of criticism based on their handling of how they were talking about the injury of Tua yesterday.
This is something that we have both dealt with in our lives, in our careers, in working with and or for teams and flagship stations, where you are basically a puppet in the governing bodies that be, the companies involved, and you're only supposed to deliver the message they want you to deliver. As it relates to last night's game, the fact is when the injury happened and they started showing replays, Carissa Thompson reported, oh, and as part of the hit, he got his wrists and his fingers bent back on the play, causing his fingers to go like that. Well, subsequent replay showed his fingers were never bent back, nor his wrist. And it's like, where are you getting that from?
Yeah.
And then after the entire halftime continued to say thoughts and prayers are out for Tua, and Tua has movement in his extremities, and you go to all these veterans, including Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was clearly shaken by the whole thing, and all these guys with concern, not one person on that dais, not one person on that desk made any reference to the fact that this was coming off of an injury that happened in the Bills game Sunday. And it was almost like they were downplaying that to say, this is one of those fluke plays that happened, and they were just focused on, let's hope he's okay, instead of being journalists to say, this is coming off of back and or head trauma that he had in the Bills game. This is a big deal. This is whatever. And you have to ask yourself, did the NFL play a role in how they delivered messages in that halftime show?
Look, I like a good conspiracy theory. I have a friend who maybe even be a conspiracy realist. So I like a good conspiracy theory at the end of the day. I like putting my tinfoil hat on every now and then. I just think it was a poor effort by Amazon more than it had anything. I don't think the NFL at all said, let's try to control this message with our halftime. Every message about this before halftime, if you just go look at Twitter, how do people get their news nowadays? Very seldom is it controlling the message on some Amazon halftime. People are going to Twitter. People are talking about it. There's no way the NFL is going to do anything that changes the narrative or protects their narrative whatsoever. And also, the other part of that, Amazon was showing the hit of Tua over and over. Amazon was also being criticized for showing too much of the replay of Tua.
Is ridiculous. You have to show the replay. It wasn't gory.
People are talking on both sides of their mouth, though. They're saying, don't show the replay, but then talk more about what happened the previous week.
Well, here's where I would say, Jeremy, because we know this as well, having worked with ex-athletes. No one's going to tell them what to do. So if you're taking three ex-players in the league that played long careers and at a very high level, and you're telling me not one of them would make reference to the fact that he got his tower, he got his bell rung on Sunday. He had this happen on Sunday. And as it relates to what happened tonight, there's probably some lingering effects, things like that. You would think that regardless of whether this was NFL driven or Amazon driven or who's to blame there, you would think that these players alone would have said, hey, man, I've been through this in my career. And if one happened right on top of the other one, it means something.
Look, it could have been a mandate from Amazon. They could have talked about it before the halftime. I just don't think the NFL had anything to do with it. If you turn on NFL Network today, this is the lead story. If you go look at NFL's like Twitter, they're talking about this. If you go look at NFL.com, it's the top story on their website.
I can't speak for you, but I can tell you the reason why I have that conspiracy theory is because I've lived it. Because I know on multiple occasions that with being responsible for the radio broadcast and actually physically delivering the news to overseeing and being the direct guy that makes the calls on television, I've gotten the call from above that said, even if I know the truth and knew what happened, don't say that, say this. You don't say this, you say that, because that's the message we need to get out there.
But that's usually when you're employed by the team.
Well, for sure, for me it was, yes. Right. But as it relates to flagships, you know as well as I do, the flagship's going to send down mandates, emails, and directions saying you won't say this, you won't talk about them, you will only say this in a positive way.
That's with the team, and that's also with probably things that aren't public knowledge, I would imagine. Usually things that you know,
some
they know behind the scenes.
Some of it was related to injuries that happened and what we should say as opposed to what happened.
Sure, but people probably didn't know the extent of the injury at the time, right?
No, we did.
Okay. Well, I don't see a national network that's paying billions of dollars being told by Roger Goodell or some of his NFL cronies, you can't talk about this, and then we're going to go ahead and make it our lead story on our website. We're going to have it as our number one talking point on our network. I think it was Amazon doing a poor job. I don't think it had anything to do with the NFL. And then also, post-game, they changed it. They started talking about the Buffalo game. Mm-hmm. Whitworth started talking about his experiences. I think it was more with Amazon than NFL.
But they also saw that feedback after halftime?
But they should have known that before halftime. No. Amazon saw the feedback after halftime.
And that's why they really made it an issue.
I would point more at Amazon than NFL. Okay. But Amazon also got criticized for showing too much to a replay and then also got criticized for not talking about the Buffalo game. So it's like people were talking out of both sides of their mouths. Like, they're not happy with A, they're also not happy with B, that's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. So, like, you're not going to please everybody. I don't think Amazon did a great job of the way they handled it, but I don't think it was a mandate by the NFL. Something that the NFL does do, though, that absolutely I cannot stand. And to me, it's flat out criminal. I think it's a criminal thing. And it's all inspired by greed, is the fact we have Thursday night football. What was Amazon's purchase for a Thursday night? I think it was $1 billion. I think it was like a $1 billion contract to get to the rights to Thursday night football. You have dudes that are, like, football is a violent sport, right? Can we all agree to that?
Absolutely.
That football is very violent, that these offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you know, pounding their helmets together for 70 snaps a game. Running backs get 20, 25 carries where they get hammered to the ground. Tua's taken two hits in the last 2 weeks, probably concussed on both of those hits. Like, football is a very violent sport. The fact that you have dudes that are going out on Sunday playing a very violent sport and then have 3 days rest to turn around again and play a very violent sport with some of the best athletes, some of the strongest people in the world trying to bring you down and take your head off is, I think, downright criminal. Like, this is something we can point to the NFL and actually have, like, a legit case. The fact, like, the whole, you know, the independent doctors, there's over 30 medical, like, members on the sidelines on game day in the NFL. I don't think that they need more medical people. Should they have, like, a checkup the next day? Are there certain things that you can put in place? Sure, absolutely. The thing that I find more damning than all of this is that you're asking an NFL football team to 3 days after playing a very violent, grueling game to go out and do it again. I find Thursday night football to be like cockfighting.
Ooh. Here's the thing. When we in a previous life had Eric Winston on, former Texans lineman, when he was the vice president of the NFLPA. We had you and I both know Travis Johnson very well and other NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
To a man, everybody said, it's one thing to recover and be good enough to go from Sunday to Sunday. But to ask us to be able to do it from Sunday to Thursday, and it doesn't matter when, if we get a bye week following that or how they try and cater to us after the fact, the damage is already done. You're not even fully recovered from the Sunday, and you're playing again on a Thursday. And so even as it related to, well, you know that we want to add one or two more games to the schedule, which they did at least add one.
Yep.
But the players were saying, it's one thing to say you're adding an extra game to the schedule, but we still have the same amount of recovery time. We don't have as many preseason games. It's not ideal, but we could probably do that. But to say that every team in the league is trying to stomach and recover from a Sunday, and then at least one time they're going to have to be required to come back with 3 days rest and do it all again and do more damage than recovery, it's ridiculous.
There's no way.
I love the Thursday night game as a fan, but I completely understand why, as a player, they don't want it.
I have an idea to save Thursday night football, but also don't have a team playing on 3 days rest.
Flag football and a skills competition.
No, I'm not saying that we're taking a tackle football away, but you don't play Thursday night football until the bye start. And if you're a Thursday night football team that's playing in that game, you're coming off a bye. Mm-hmm. So you're coming off a bye, playing Thursday night football. You have more than a week. You have a week and a half to get ready for that game. And then after that Thursday night football game, you have another week and a half to get ready. No team should ever be playing football 3 days after they played football, especially in the NFL, where you have some of the very best athletes in the entire world trying to rip the heads off of some of the other very best athletes in the entire world. 713-780-ESPN. Let's hear from Mike McDaniel. We didn't get a chance to do that there. 713-780-3776. I don't find this blame on Mike McDaniel to be fair. What Mike McDaniel himself had to say after the game last night. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's Joel Blank. It's that time of year again. Kids are going back to school, and you want to take that time to feel good about yourself. Well, if you want to feel like your young college-age years, you need to get to Apollo Men's Health. They can make it happen. Your health is your wealth. Invest in yourself. Get in touch with them today. ApolloMH.com. Book your first appointment. You're going to find out that most major insurance is accepted, discounts to military personnel and first responders, and whether it be getting into a workout program or basically just getting more energy in your life, they have ways for men and women to feel better on a daily basis. Get to Apollo Men's Health today. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
The John Clay Wolf Show. Here's what's going on in the Wolf Pack.
I've got to run to San Diego for a few days. When I left my wife this morning, I told her I will see you next Tuesday. She slapped me. You don't remember what see you next Tuesday stands for?
Oh, yes.
What is it?
Air traffic controllers use it as well to pilots who piss them off.
Do they?
No. It's time for Plane Talk with your captain, J.D. Ryan.
The John Clay Wolf Show, every Saturday morning.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey ESPN listeners, Cody Stutes here, and you may have heard that the Wheelhouse and Paul Gallant are going to Vegas. We're watching Houston and Las Vegas on Sunday, October 23rd, and we want you to be there. Tune in to both shows as we'll be sending a lucky listener to Las Vegas to join us. One winner is going to get tickets to the game, airfare, and you're staying at the best hotel in all Las Vegas, Circa Casino Resort. One winner, but anybody can join us. Head to CircaLasVegas.com, enter promo code CIRCA975 for a 15% discount on your stay. That's CIRCA975. We'll see you there. Houston.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. So you have to drive 300 miles to your cousin's wedding. Okay, so it's his fourth. But you know what they say, fourth time's the charm. Well, here's the problem. Your tires are as bald as I am. But lucky for you, eBay Motors has tires for just about every make and model. Plus wheels, lug nuts, jack stands, and more. 122 million parts. Do they have tissues? Oh, good, because I'm definitely a crier. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
An Oral-B electric toothbrush delivers a professional, purifying, clean feeling. So if you want a round brush head inspired by dentists,
come and get it.
And if you want a brush that cleans 100% better than a regular brush for cleaner teeth and healthier gums,
what you waiting for?
Oral-B is the brand dentists worldwide use the most. So maybe it's time you
come and get it.
You get it. Oral-B. Brush like a pro.
Jeremy Brannan with founder-owner Ricky Ford of Gentle Bend Spirits. And my favorite time of the week is Friday night. I get to raise a glass of Gentle Bend.
Me too, man. I love at the end of the week, after it's been a crazy week, we all get together in the tasting room, and the first thing we do is reach for the bottle of Gentle Bend bourbon. Pour us a neat shot, say a little cheers, kick back, catch up on everything. It's fantastic.
Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Bend.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, who deserves blame in the Tua thing? Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins, the neurologists, the NFL. A lot of people are saying that Roger Goodell should be fired for all of this. The NFL has never been better at being able to prognose a concussion on the field. I firmly believe that. You have more medical experts on the field than ever before. You have team doctors on both sides. You have an independent neurologist who's looking for this, and you have the NFL referees who are also looking for this. And if you want an example of that, go look to see how one of the NFL referees handled Houston Texans center Scott Quisenberry the other day when he got poked in the eye, rattled his head around, looked like he might have had a concussion based on his mannerisms. Turned out he just got poked in the eye, but he had to go sit. He had to go to the sideline because the referee saw it and sent him off the field. Nobody's ever looked for this more. They have penalties whenever you hit the head of a quarterback. They have targeting. You hit the head of a defensive receiver. It's never been a better time for like the NFL in terms of how they handle head injuries. Now, the Tua situation is going to open up a lot of doors, and I bet you it leads to more medical experts on the field. But the blame to the NFL, I don't think it's warranted. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's warranted or fair to Mike McDaniel. I think it's fair to look at the neurologist, and I think that whatever the investigation turns out, I'm going to be very interested in it.
Yeah.
And also the Miami team doctors to see like if they had any sway in this as well.
I think it's the doctors that made the diagnosis, and I think and however he got to wherever he got to end up in the position he's in now. And then it's again, and I'm not even trying to be critical here and you know point fingers to have some ramifications laid down and massive impact. I'm saying as a league, between the Players Association and the league itself, you don't know until you've been through situations like this. Like I don't think anybody probably planned for a quick turnaround in someone that had an injury like this.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone then what are the guidelines that have to be followed in terms of how many days of rest, regardless of whether it was a concussion or not, or you know what, you figure out the ramifications based on a full week, based on 4 days, figure out some more protocol that has to be involved so you can avoid this happening again.
I mean, I think the protocol is pretty good. Now, do I think it's going to become a little bit more, it's better than it's ever been. Do I think it's going to become a little bit more advanced now? I think the NFL doesn't have a choice
because
the optics on this don't look great. The PR on it does not look great. Mike McDaniel talked yesterday after the game because, look, he got the kitchen sink thrown at him after yesterday's game. And one of the things that everybody's jumped to conclusions about, and look, it's because of the wobble. It's because Tua had a very tough time standing up against Buffalo. He did play in the second half. He did win that game. He looked pretty good until he got hurt yesterday. But Mike McDaniel after the game says, look, Tua didn't come into yesterday's game with a head injury.
Yeah, otherwise we would have reported him having a head injury. I mean, that's why the NFL has these protocols, and there's not like every single NFL game that is played. There's an independent specialist that specializes in the specialty of brain matter. So, yeah, for me, as long as I'm coaching here, if there's in, you know, I'm not going to fudge that whole situation. If there's any sort of inclination that someone has a concussion, they go into the concussion protocol, and it's very strict. People don't vary or stray. We don't mess with that. Never have, and as long as I'm the head coach, that will never be an issue that you guys have to worry about.
That was Mike McDaniel's side of the story. You're buying it.
I am. I really am. Because I think it goes back to what I said in the opening segment, too. Like, as a coach, sure, you want him to play. He's your starting quarterback. He gives you the best chance to win. But I believe that Mike McDaniels is a genuine enough guy, and he also understands the rules and the way things are laid out, that he's not going to go tell a guy that you know that you've been told kind of off the record, hey, this guy's dealing with some stuff right now, and this could be a big deal. I don't think he's the kind of guy that says, I don't care, the league cleared him, get him out there, get his butt out there. No. I think that there's so many different checkpoints now that weren't there in years past, and also a more aware society and sports world, that I don't think that he's going to throw him out there if he didn't get all the checkpoints cleared.
I believe we instinctually trust our doctors, and whenever a doctor's telling us whether it's, you know, we need to take cough medicine, whether it's a doctor telling the head coach that he doesn't have a concussion, he's 100% cleared, he's ready to go. Okay, he's going to play some games.
I agree with Joel that I thought McDaniel sounded very genuine in his postgame.
Uh-huh.
I just need to make sure we address the fact that he started this by saying every team has specialists who specialize on a specialization.
That's the genius that is Mike McDaniel.
It took the seven words to say some version of specialization three times.
Don't think that he didn't do the research, exactly, that realized that if you emphasize the word more than once, it it sinks in and stays and resonates.
Three times, right, in a commercial?
I bet you that the guy that asked him the question asked something about specialist. I guarantee it.
That's their way of taking that little back at you a little bit.
Especially Mike McDaniel. Listening enough to Mike McDaniel, like he's very calculated with his words. 713-780-ESPN. Let's head out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Matt, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Happy Friday, Matt. How you doing?
Doing good, guys. So at what point is the blame for Tua's situation going to land on Tua?
Yeah. It's a good question, Matt. I think
that's what I said. You're asking about what I said he needs, which is you need to take Tua out of his own harm's way that he's putting himself in. You need to keep him from himself, so to speak. Because he's not going to be the one that takes himself out of the game.
Yeah, Matt's probably just tuning in, which is fine. We appreciate it, Matt. Thank you for listening and calling into the Killer Bees. We played a soundbite earlier of Tua saying, like, look, every competitor in the NFL is going to want to be out there. I've seen a lot of concussions. I've been at the sideline of hundreds of football games. I have seen it happen firsthand. I've seen the concussion protocol. I've seen people taking up the ramp, be placed in a concussion protocol, had sunglasses put on, hoodie over their head, can't bear the light. A lot of evaluating a concussion are the mannerisms and how the player themselves are acting. If Tua was acting funny, even if he wasn't concussed, he would have been placed in the concussion protocol and would not have been allowed to come back into the football game. I think it's safe to say Tua probably did have a concussion. We don't know that for sure. But players can say certain things, especially if they've had them in the past. Yep. They can say certain things that will trick a neurologist, that will trick the team doctors. If you want badly enough to stay into a game with a concussion, you can pull it off. So yes, some of it does fall on the shoulders of Tua. Absolutely, 100%, Tua has some fault in this. But you also can't blame Tua for wanting to be on the field. Like, it's a very hard thing to do. You want your players to be gamers. You want them to be on the field. You want them to play through injury. You've been trained this, you've been conditioned this, and Tua got benched last year for Ryan Fitzpatrick. You said earlier, look, Tua's fighting for his job. Like, he's had a good start to the season. We don't think he's in jeopardy of being benched.
Not really fighting for his job, but fighting to prove himself as the starter for this team.
Well, I mean, if he misses two games and Teddy... Look, Cooper Rush, all of a sudden, people are talking about Cooper Rush being the starter over Dak Prescott. Like, people jump to conclusions a lot of times. And look, as an athlete, like, you kind of block out the noise. Tua got benched last year. I bet you Tua thinks he's 5 interceptions in 1 game away from being benched.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he can't play for 2 weeks.
But here's the other thing, Jeremy, as we dissect like how you diagnose what happened to him, you know what you see, and you know that whether you know all the symptoms of a concussion or not, when you see a guy wobble and struggle to keep his balance and stay on his feet more than once on a play, you pretty much in your mind have the belief that he has a concussion, okay? If you look at the definition of symptoms of a concussion, there's also, there are two of them that he might not have had because we don't know. Headaches, and I was looking it up. I forget what the other one is. And then the third one is
pupils a lot of times.
Losing balance and loss of balance and stumbling around. If that's all you saw, but you don't know that that's also could be a symptom of the spinal injury or the back injuries that he's had or other things like that, you just immediately assume as a fan and a viewer, concussion.
Yeah.
Ex-players do the same thing. They go, I've been there, done that. The minute you do that, you got a concussion. But if you haven't had the back injury, too, to know and realize, then you just don't know.
Yeah. See, I was talking about how when a player comes over, talks to the neurologist, that a lot of times they can say the right thing.
Well, I know what you were saying.
But OG on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, LOL, what? Did Tua point and say, hey, look, what's over there, and run away as he made the doctor look. Every year, every team, every sport, they have baseline testing before the year that whenever somebody has a head trauma in a game, they ask them the same questions that they asked them in the baseline testing. If they vary, and look, most of these questions a lot of times are like learning skills, memory skills. They're not hard questions, like what's your favorite number? What's your favorite color? Like things like that they can try to notice if your brain's slightly off kilter. But if you can just get through the baseline testing, you're not showing like impairment with pupils and, the light's not bothering you. You're not reporting dizziness, which again, this is on the player to report it. You can talk your way into staying into a game.
And they're not doing a brain scan and they don't have the equipment to do it. So you don't know if the ramifications of it are going to continue to get worse to where a couple hours from now, then there might be even more issues with speech and slurring of speech and all these other things. But in the short term, while you don't have access to a quick test that really can scan the brain,
yeah,
that's the way they get around it.
That's why I like your idea of, okay, there's an independent neurologist there on game day. Is there a follow-up independent neurologist? Is there an independent neurologist the very next day? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But if you can get through those baseline testings, I mean, there's really nothing that a neurologist can do.
And let's be very clear, out of it. Most players, and I think a majority of players, they're going to do whatever they need to do to get back on the field. Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's their job. That's their career. That's their livelihood. And that's their brotherhood in the locker room, and they want to be out there.
Teddy Bridgewater almost got him that victory yesterday.
One
almost, huh?
I don't know if you blame the tight end or you blame him on the read, but yeah, that if he had that throw back again, I had a lot of confidence that he was going to do what they needed to do to win that football game.
I can't imagine Tua's going to come back soon. I'm thinking month minimum, right? Like, he's not going to come back soon, right? Can the Dolphins survive four games with Teddy Bridgewater as their starting quarterback?
I don't know, man. I mean, look, Teddy looked good enough to where at least you're in a good position to say. It's like when Teddy Bridgewater took over the Saints when Drew Brees went down. You have a good enough football team around him that if he just does what he did last night, minus the one throw, but against a different opponent, you might be in a situation where you don't have to worry about just coming down to one play. He should be just fine. He should be able to guide you through a winning record through however many games Tua loses, and you can stay competitive for a playoff spot. Now, will you still be in first place in the division, or will the Bills, who look like the most dominant team in the AFC with the Chiefs, take over the division? That's nothing you can worry about. You just have to worry about handling your own business. I think they're in a good spot because they have a veteran backup that can do what needs to be done.
One of the better backups in the league. Our role, it seems to be everybody's role. You go 500 as a backup quarterback, you're doing your job in the NFL. The schedule plays a little bit for Miami. You know, kind of the timing of this isn't atrocious. They go to the Jets. They're home for the Vikings. They're home for the Steelers. They're at Detroit. They're at Chicago. And then you're facing the Browns just before you get Deshaun Watson back. So, I mean, you could go, that's six games, and it's also, there's a bye week in there as well. So you could basically not have Tua back for close to 2 months. You go 3-3, and I think those six games, it's possible.
Well, you get these extra days now, too. You get Friday, Saturday, Sunday because of playing last night, too. You buy a little extra time there. So I'd say a month is probably right on for him.
You could buy him two.
But, yeah, I wouldn't rush him back. And, you know, everybody's going to be watching this one. It's not like losing your left tackle or your right tackle or your guard and going, yeah, you know, we think we're going to get him back in a month, and then we're going to try and get him back a little earlier than that. This one now, it's way too in the public eye to be trying to get him back quicker.
All right, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's try to make you some money. It's BZ Money with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Every Sunday, I tell my buddy Steven, don't bet on the Cowboys. They suck. But he bets on them anyway. That's dumb, Steven. But you know better and pick winners every weekend. So why not get paid for your picks at MyBookie? At MyBookie, you can bet single game spreads, money lines, or even parlay them together to increase your payouts. They also have contests with low entry fees and over a half a million to be won. So you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. And you'll definitely enjoy their prop builder so you can bet on individual players' performances. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie.ag. Use promo code BET975 on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. With action like this, MyBookie makes it simple to bet and win, even for Steven, if he'll listen. Make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Keeping Texas chill. Hey, John Granato here, and you know I'm keeping Texas chill with my cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Coors Light is the official beer of beating your buddy in coaster flipping and him having to pay you a dollar. It's the official beer of the third shelf of my refrigerator. And Coors Light is the official beer of kicking my feet up after a grueling 3-hour radio show. Do your part keeping Texas chill. Make your next beer a Coors Light. I'm John Granato, and I approve this Coors Light message.
Everybody loves football under the Friday Night Lights. Join Cougar Nation this Friday night at 6 at TDECU as Houston celebrates Hispanic Heritage Night.